Welcome to Today with Marilyn and Sarah. We're going to have an amazing time looking at one of my grandmother's classic teachings on kicking condemnation. Before we start, I want to make sure that you get your copy of today's teaching notes. These are our free downloadable gift for you. So go on the website, make sure you get today's teaching notes because you'll be able to follow along with today's teaching and the different points that she references during the teaching. Again, go on the website, make sure you get your free downloadable copy. Partners, thank you so much for your help. Thank you so much for your support and everything you do to help us cover the earth with the word and connect everyone with the heart of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, a million times, thank you. If you have a prayer need, maybe you're feeling a lot of condemnation in your own heart and you're really struggling with confidence, please call, go on the website. We want to pray with you that you would walk in the righteousness that God has for you, that you would have an understanding of who you are in Christ Jesus, who He has made you to be, and the new person that you are walking in and as. Today's teaching will help you enormously. A lot of times when we come to the Lord, a lot of people teach about the importance of giving your life to Jesus in that moment of salvation. But this teaching helps you to continue to walk in the confidence and the assurance of Christ Jesus. Let's take a look.
Now, the thing about condemnation is that it has a kickback. And so when you get into condemnation, condemning yourself, condemning someone else, there's a kickback with it. And so if you're watching on television, watch very closely because God has a special message for you. Now, I'm going to look at five things with you. So look at your notes and let's see where we're going. Then we'll know if we arrived at the end. First of all, we want to look at the background of condemnation. Where did it start? How did we get into it? Secondly, we want to know how to get out of condemnation into righteousness. Thirdly, we need to know how to submit to His righteousness. Fourthly, self-condemnation, where we're always beating on ourselves. And then the fifth thing is proclaiming His righteousness. Now, where did all of this self-condemnation start? It's so serious. It started in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve ate of the tree, they felt condemned. They knew they had disobeyed God. So what did they do? They hid themselves. They covered themselves with leaves. And then when God showed up, they didn't want to see Him. Why? They felt how? Tell me how they felt. Condemned, to judge down, to put under. And they felt very condemned. Now, remember, God then, you know, clothed them with skin, which would have to do with the shedding of the blood. But watch what they said. When they felt condemned, they hid themselves. They were in fear. They were in anxiety. They were in distress. And it all started out of condemnation.
Do you wrestle with the feeling that you're not enough? In the Bible, there are countless scriptures that help with this unfortunately familiar feeling. With the Father's help, it's time to kick condemnation to the curb. With your gift of $29 or more, you'll receive the following collection of resources. Rebuild, Restoring Your God-Given Identity. Freedom from Bondages. The Finish Strong CD from Sarah and our Breaking Free Scripture card. And for your gift of $65 or more, we'll also include a bottle of healing anointing oil and a box of daily blessing cards filled with 100 verses to refresh and encourage you every day. You were never meant to live in shame. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in His image. Let God restore your confidence and identity today. Call now or visit us online.
I believe the root of all fear, all anxiety, even depression, is condemnation. So when He spoke to them, remember Adam, and this is what condemnation does. When we feel condemned, then we condemn somebody else. Well, I'm not the only one who's done that. Go talk to them. They're ugly too. And so if you remember, Eve said, well, the devil made me do it. Adam said, Eve made me do it. And so from that condemnation, they begin to condemn one another, put the blame on somebody else, and that's very sad. Condemnation is an ugly, ugly thing. And when we get born again, we are also aware of this, that our sins are all forgiven. Is that all? Everybody say all? Does that have to do with past, present, future? Our sins are all forgiven, but most Christians never say, I have the righteousness of Jesus. So what happened? Jesus took your sins and gave you his righteousness. And righteousness is a big, big deal. Because people who know that they have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, they live better, they think better, they act better. Because condemnation, out of that root comes fear and anxiety and depression. So I believe condemnation is the root of all of the ugly things that come into our lives. I really do. And I think so many times Christians have heard so much about, I'm forgiven of my sins, which you should. That's the cross. But they don't hear, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because we think that's too arrogant. But that's God's gift. There's been a divine switch. He took your sins, gave you his righteousness. Put out your left hand. Say, he took my sins, gave me his righteousness.
Are you stuck in that cycle of guilt and shame? Jesus has freedom for you. Sometimes when we get stuck in that cycle of, I feel guilty and so I sin, and I feel shameful so I sin, we forget that Jesus took every sin on that cross. He took all your shame, all of the guilt, and he's cleansed you and made you white as snow. You can break the cycle. You can walk in freedom today. Call, go on the website. We want to pray with you that you would experience the freedom that God has for you to walk away from the cycle and to walk in freedom. Let's jump back into the teaching.
So Old Testament deals with condemnation and righteousness. Hi, Jordan. How are you? Now, Jordan looks very casual. Is that right? So it looks like he could take a bath and clean up a little. And so I'm going to read this scripture, and then we're going to demonstrate. But it says in Zechariah 3:2-4, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. So would you put this on? I can't put it on you. It's kind of whatever. That's backwards. You want to turn it around? Okay. Now, what is this? This is the devil accusing. Who accuses you? Who condemns you? Who does it? Satan condemns you. And he is condemning Joshua. Now, who is Joshua? He is the priest after they come back from the 70 years of captivity. Now, what is he? If he's representing the people and the high priest represented the people, he was dirty because Israel was dirty. They had been in idolatry, all kinds of junk and trash, and God had warned them, and finally they went into captivity. Now they're coming back, and the devil says, well, what's your high priest? He's filthy. Israel is filthy. He accuses, everybody say, Satan accuses me. Put your hand here. Say, Satan accuses me. But the angel said, clothe him in white. And so when we are born again, wow, all the filthiness of our sin is covered with his righteousness. Amen? Does that make you slap happy? Well, you're going to get happier. Thank you, Jordan, very much.
I grew up in a pastor's home, and so I was around church and Christianity and all that stuff for all of my life. But I remember when I was very, very young, one of the most essential things, conclusions that I came to was, you know, I can do all the right things, I can say all the right things, I can follow the Sunday school teacher, but the most important thing I determined early in my life was to have my own personal connection with Jesus. And that decision, that solution actually, has guided my life for all of my years. I want to pray with you now that you would have a personal relationship with Jesus. Whether you've done it in the past or never, let's pray this together now. Say this with me. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Sorry for the wrong things that I've done. Be my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me and setting me free for your design. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, so now let's go on and let's just look some more at the background. Old Testament tells you that we're all unclean, that our righteousness is like filthy rags. But Old Testament also gives some little hints and keys along the way about righteousness. For example, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Well, he was a prophet in a dark time. I wouldn't have wanted to be in Jeremiah's time. I wouldn't have at all. And the people are going to be taken into captivity because they are in terrible idolatry. And so Jeremiah begins to prophesy to them. He cries all the time because the people are not repenting or surrendering. And then God gives him a revelation. And he gives him one of the redemptive names of God. And it is Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah means the revealing one. And Tsidkenu is righteousness. What does God want to reveal to you today? That Jesus gave you his righteousness. And so there is a revelation of righteousness, and that is very important to us. So that kind of gives you some Old Testament background, but you say, okay, Jesus took my sins. How many of you are born again? Wave at me. Say, Jesus took my sins, but Jesus gave me his righteousness. You say, well, I just can't believe that, you know, because I think wrong things. I say wrong things. I do wrong things. But let's just look at it. It says in number 2, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. How did Abraham, how is he called the righteousness of God? By faith. How do you know your sins are forgiven? By faith. How do you know you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? By faith. Scripture says it. Jesus has made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And so we take the forgiveness of sins by faith. We take the righteousness of Jesus by faith. Everybody say faith.
Do you wrestle with the feeling that you're not enough? In the Bible, there are countless scriptures that help with this unfortunately familiar feeling. With the Father's help, it's time to kick condemnation to the curb. With your gift of $29 or more, you'll receive the following collection of resources. Rebuild, Restoring Your God-Given Identity. Freedom from Bondages. The Finish Strong CD from Sarah, and our Breaking Free Scripture Card. And for your gift of $65 or more, we'll also include a bottle of healing anointing oil and a box of daily blessing cards filled with 100 verses to refresh and encourage you every day. You were never meant to live in shame. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in His image. Let God restore your confidence and identity today. Call now or visit us online.
Welcome back to Today with Marilyn and Sarah. We're having an amazing time learning about kicking condemnation. Now, my grandmother has used this phrase, the righteousness of Christ Jesus, a lot. But what does it mean? A lot of times people think that the righteousness of Christ Jesus is a side effect from their good actions. But what it actually is it's a gift. See, when you gave your life to Jesus, when you shed your old man and put on your new self, righteousness is a gift. And then we behave righteously as a byproduct of this gift that God has given us. So remember, it's not a performance, it's a gift. Maybe you're watching today and you feel like you need to do all these good things and then you won't have condemnation. Then you can walk in freedom. Well, that is not true. You've been given righteousness as a gift. I want to pray with you that you would accept the righteousness of God and walk forward. Call, go on the website. We want to pray with you and make sure you tune in to the teaching.
Now, when Jesus walked on the earth, And then afterwards, even, the Jews did not really accept Jesus well. Why? Because they thought righteousness was by performance. And frankly, folks, most Christians think that. Well, if I perform good enough, God will like me. If I'm this, then he will think I'm righteous. If I read my Bible, I read 55 chapters every day, pray in tongues 10 hours, then I'm righteous. That's performance. But God gives you the gift. Performance is something you have to do, but gift is something you receive. And you receive his righteousness by what? Faith. And the Gentiles, they received by faith. The Jews said, oh no, it isn't according to the law. No performance. And so it's very key to us that we see the performance was done by Jesus. He never sinned, but he took all of our sin and then gave us his righteousness. Look at Philippians 3:9. I love this. It says, and be found in him. Everybody say in him. Now, if you are a Christian, are you in him? Say, I'm in him. Not having my own righteousness, it's obvious we don't have it, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So it's key for us to understand what we have by faith. Very key. And if we don't believe for it, then we don't act in it. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, if I think I'm the righteousness of God, then I'll go out and do anything and say I'm the righteousness of God. I'm going to address that question, and we're going to step over the line from that. That is a sick excuse. Say yuck three times. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Righteousness is so important. And I looked at that paralyzed man that was dropped through the roof, and I noticed that Jesus dealt with sin in his life before he healed him. Then I got all involved with 1 Peter 2:24, and you've used it a lot, I'm sure. I have for healing. For years, I've stood on this scripture for healing. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. Now listen, by whose stripes you are healed. You know, we say, oh yeah, Jesus took my sickness, my diseases, he took my sin. But wait a minute. When you see your righteousness first, then you have greater faith for your healing. Okay, now listen to me. A lot of people, when you pray for them for healing, they say, well, I've been such a bad person. You know, I just don't deserve it. No, I don't think you do either. It's a gift. Everybody say, it's a gift. But how did healing come? It came out of Jesus dying for your sin. How did righteousness come? It came when Jesus took your sins and gave you his, what? Righteousness. Can you receive that? That is such a powerful truth. I heard a testimony this week that was so outstanding about an Ethiopian man, born again, spirit-filled, really turned on to God. He lives in the city, actually, and has kind of a high position. But he was a communist, and I don't know how many people he killed or all the things he did, but he lived a pretty bad life in Ethiopia. They put him in prison for 10 years. Now, when you think communist, think atheist, because they worship communism as their God, and they say openly, you know, I'm an atheist. So he's put in prison for 10 years, and maybe longer, because they're saying he did such terrible things. But somebody smuggled a Bible into him. And so what did he have to do every day? Read the Bible. He read the Bible. He read the Bible. He read the Bible. He received Jesus and really began to see that he was righteous. He had the gift of righteousness. So he began to pray that he would have favor and would get out of prison. And within a year, he was out. He's born again. And he says very openly, and I pray in tongues. And he has a high position in our nation, actually in our city. But how did it start? When he received who? Jesus. When you received Jesus, did he forgive all your sins? Did he give you the gift of righteousness? Now, see, that's where I don't think we come into it, because we say, I don't deserve it. I've done too many wrong things, stupid things.
Are you believing lies? No, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's through him that you can experience this freedom and this righteousness. God has a better plan for you. Please call. Please go on our website. We know that there can be miracles of renewal in your mind and in your actions and in all these places. Paul says that we need to renew our minds in Christ Jesus. We want to pray with you that your mind would be renewed even today, even as you continue to watch today's program. Please call. Go on the website. Pray for the renewed mind, for freedom to walk in the identity that God has given you. Let's jump right back into the teaching.
So, the third point is submitting to the righteousness of Jesus. It says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, performance, 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 have not submitted to the righteousness of God. I have to submit to his righteousness. Now listen to me closely. We're about to cross over the line here. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is that true? As you think is the way you're going to behave. So people will say to me, well, if you run around saying you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it just gives you a license to sin. Just the opposite. If I think I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, how many of you think it could keep me out of sin? Absolutely. And I think this is a lie of the enemy to keep us from living victorious lives. Now, I'll tell you something I did that's really stupid, really bad. I was in the airport at Frankfurt. I was very upset because I walked and walked and walked, and they had wrong directions. And I mean, you can walk for miles. It took me an hour and a half to get to the gate where I was supposed to be. It's early morning. I'm tired. I've traveled all night, probably been awake. So I went up to the woman at the desk and I said, I hate this airport. You don't have directions. I've walked for an hour and a half finally to get here. And, you know, she was very nice and, you know, did all the things. And then I sat down and the Lord said to me, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Didn't sound like it. Didn't look like it. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, what a great expression of Jesus you are today. So I just went up to her and told her, I said, I'm so sorry. I was so short with you. I was so ugly with you. I said, you know, I'm a Christian, and I know better. My sins have been forgiven, but I have the righteousness of God. Please forgive me. That was not right behavior. When you get right believing, right thinking, you get right acting.
Together, we are impacting thousands of lives with the truth, compassion, and power of God's Word. When you become a $30 a month partner, we'll send you the Jehovah Rapha oil vial with oil prayed over by Marilyn and Sarah, the Key to More Miracles book, the Majesty Coffee Table book featuring beautiful representations of the names of God, and more. Call or click today to become a partner and help us cover the earth with the Word and connect everyone to the heart of God.
Hey, we just came out with a brand new book that you totally want to get called The Road Home.
This book is about the prodigal son, and you want to get a copy because you know prodigals in your life, maybe you're a prodigal. You want this book. You need to get in contact with your heavenly father, and this book will teach you how to do that.
Buy it today because all of us need to know our chasing father who loves us dearly.
I think we nailed that.
That was super good, Isabel. You did fantastic.
Let's just go home.
Now, I have a friend, and he told me that his mother-in-law had a fit when he was going to marry her daughter. She said, oh, I don't want you. I said, well, why would she act like that? You know, you're wonderful. You're born again, spirit-filled, love God. He said, well, but I've been married 5 times. He said, would you want your daughter to marry someone who had been married 5 times? I said, probably not. Reese, I'm glad you hadn't been married before. And so, what are we saying here? That when you are born again, are all your sins forgiven? All 5 marriages? All the alcohol? The abuse of children? All of it. And now, who is he? He's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, that's so hard for us to say, but it's so biblical. And so that was 30 years ago. He's a pastor. He's an evangelist. Many people are led to Christ. He's gone back and worked with his children by all these other marriages. I think all of them are saved but one. But why? How can that be? We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so, as I said, the more I claim it, the more I think it, the more I act like it. It is so key for us. Now, as a man thinketh, so is he. If you think I'm righteous, are you more likely to do righteous things? You know, if I think, man, there are people on this plane that are going to know who I am, and if I act ugly, they're going to say, oh, did you see Marilyn Hickey? You know, she teaches the Bible, but she sure doesn't act like it. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the more I think that, the less I want to be involved the other way. So God helps us to see who we are. And the Bible says in John, as he is, so are we. That's so hard for us to plug into. As he is, so are we, because we are in Christ.
You are in Christ Jesus. Do you know that? Do you feel that deep in your essence? You are made new in Christ Jesus. And as such, you have an identity as a son or daughter of God that you need to remember to walk into. If you need reminders, please call, go on the website. We want to pray with you that you would be restored into your God-given identity. While you're there, I want to make sure you get your copy of today's resource, Rebuild, Restoring Your God-Given Identity. This is an amazing book my grandmother wrote about how to rebuild your own identity. We go into the book of Nehemiah where it talks about rebuilding the walls, and my grandmother shows you how each and every place where the walls are rebuilt tie into a specific area of your identity and how God wants to rebuild your identity. Call, go on the website. We want to make sure to get this book in your hands. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today we learned about kicking condemnation. We learned that the righteousness of Christ Jesus isn't something that you can earn or you can kind of perform your way into, but it's a gift. And righteous actions, righteous behaviors are a side product of receiving the gift of righteousness from Jesus. You can't do enough good things in order to deserve righteousness. It's given to you. And condemnation, guilt, shame, that's not a part of your identity. Who you really are as a son or daughter of Christ has no guilt, no shame, no condemnation. So you need to walk in the freedom that comes from being a son or daughter of Christ Jesus. Thank you so much for joining us today. I know that today's teaching blessed me enormously, and I know that it blessed you too. Remember, you are a son or daughter of Christ, and your identity is who he says you are. Thanks so much for joining, and have a great day.